All right, hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. A June 17th, 2025, beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you're at. Seems like I woke up to the same sort of theme we've been rolling with for the last few days, which is gray and overcast. Not cold, but definitely gray and overcast, and it's getting a little old. I haven't actually looked for what the weather is today, but it looks so far gray and overcast, and that's what it's been for the last few days, and it's pretty ugly. We need some sunshine, and I'm sure it's soon to follow, but I don't know. I was just talking to my son downstairs. He's going paddling today. So awesome. And then I'm paddling tomorrow, which is so awesome. Looking forward to that. Busy day at the shop today. It is Tuesday, back to work. Interesting weekend. A lot of drama, a lot of infighting with people and, you know, people getting shot and riots and parades. And it's just, it's exhausting, man. Really exhausting. You know, I guess if you turn off your phone and turn off your TV and all that stuff, it's not bad. But if you're into it, and, you know, there are moments in the day I am into it. But there are also times where I'm not into it, and it's exhausting. And it's just been one of those weekends. I told you I got yelled at by the guy at the beauty salon supply store the other day, waving his finger at me like I'm some bad person. And, it's just crazy. Revelation, Mother Earth, Ozzy Osbourne. Love me some Ozzy. I think that album came out like in seventh grade. Oh my God. Ozzy was my Drake, right? Ozzy was my whatever. Great song. That's a great reminder. So that's it. The weekend's over. We are back into the week, back to work, back to meetings, back to recovery. And sounds good to me. I am went to a meeting last night, the Monday night meeting. You know, always sort of picking and choosing on Monday nights. It's nice to start off the week without having really any issues, right? Just, you know, smooth sailing as far as the week has started. No issues. Gone through enough shit lately, enough trial and tribulations. Trying to smooth everything over. Hopefully it'll be a better month. So, you know, went to the meeting last night, went to my the dry dock meeting, I knew, you know, that's the step meeting. I knew it was early in the steps that they were working on, so I thought it'd be great to go in. And it was on the second step. And it was cool, man. It was, you know, I love the second step. And I love the newness of the vibe at that meeting. A lot of people in there, you know, new to recovery, early sobriety. It's just a good group of people. Like one of the guys that I sponsor was there. And, you know, I'm in this sort of this place right now where I've got a couple guys I'm sponsoring. They're new guys. But, you know, like the three of us, you know, we're sort of, you know, doing this together, right? And when we see new people, I'll tell those guys, you know, get that guy's number. You know, reach out to that guy. You know, this is what we do. It's not only do we not drink, but we be there for the next alcoholic. And lately there's been a couple guys, one guy we know who's just continuously struggling, you know, every 3 or 4 months going back out, 6 months going back out. And then at the meeting last night, there was a couple of new guys. One guy almost started crying. And I feel his pain, man. It's just hopeless. You know, and I it's hard for me to share on some of these, or not share, but to compare, because my story is different. I never went through this period of having a life and a child and a family while I was under the influence. You know, it was that I got to a certain point, lost everything, got sober, and have stuck with it. So hopefully up to today, you know, we only got today, but, you know, I've never gone through like trying to raise a family under the influence and being and disappointing my children. And the guy last night was going through that, and I totally get it, man. I mean, I don't get it, but I get it. It's a hopeless feeling, and it's tough. And he, you know, he broke down, and then another guy shared, young guys, man, just, you know, and me and my buddy, we connected with them afterwards, and I got their numbers, and I told the one guy I could be his temporary sponsor. You know, I don't need to be your sponsor. I could be your temporary sponsor. I said, call me every day. And I said, I may not answer, but call my phone every single day. And you know, like, well, you know, I've been doing this for, I go, I don't care. I don't really care what you've been doing. I don't care what you want to do. Call the number every day. And the three of us, the four of us, will try to stay sober together one day at a time, right? That's it. There's no magic. It takes a team. It takes a group. It takes us. It takes this program, one alcoholic helping another. And that's how we'll do it. And we'll just do it for today. And then we'll try it again tomorrow. And, you know, before the meeting started, two of my friends were bickering about, one had 24 years and one almost had 40 years. And I'm like, you got today, you know? That's what you have today. And it's a great reminder. But yeah, it was on the second step. I love the second step, man. It has evolved so much for me over time. Came to believe, right, in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I did share. And I always, you know, I have to remind myself, came to believe over time, right? It takes time, patience. It doesn't happen overnight. Over time, we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And, you know, it's interesting how all these steps really work together. You know, we got the first step, we admit, right? The first humble thing, at least that I had done. Didn't even realize to admit was a humble action, right? To me, admitting was getting caught. To admit was bad. And in this scenario, to admit was good because it's the first humble thing, right? We admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. I'm admitting it. Fine. I've been trying to show all of you that I am capable of drinking, but the fact is, and I'm admitting it, I'm not. And then it asks us to come to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, a God. RFK says, I just said, I believe, and I faked it. And you fake it. You fake it, you fake it, and then one day you're in it. You know, but like I shared, you know, my whole life prior to getting sober was all bad, bad stuff. You know, bad actions, bad thoughts, bad moves. You know, it was drinking and you know, whatever, drugging and manipulating and all of that stuff. And so my life was lived in a lower power. And every once in a while in that lifetime, in that period of my life, something good would happen and it would feel like a miracle. And then, you know, over time, getting sober, you know, like I said last night, just the decision to go to a meeting is the beginning of a relationship with God. Because I think that's one of the biggest things I wondered was, how can I have a relationship with God? And, you know, it's my, I've shared, my oldest son has been doing some paddling with us. And one of my questions is how is he going to, for some reason, I can't remember how I did the process, but I'm like, how is he going to get to a point where he can paddle, you know, with the guys, like in a, you know, a legit, you know, because my, I've always said, we need you. We need your strength. We need your youth. We need you in the boat because, you know, you're young and strong. And, but then I'm like, how is he going to go from not paddling to that point? And it's a process, right? You know, Dave, my coach, he's got him in the rec paddling. He's doing that today. You know, there's shorter distances. I'm out of the picture, right? Just a group of six people trying to get through it and getting better. And that's the same thing with this relationship with God is, you know, because I wanted, when I came in, I always, even before I even got sober, I wanted a relationship with God. I wanted a relationship with anybody and anything that was going to help me get what I wanted. And that's what God was. You know, God and Santa, they had a, you know, it was a tight race. Except Santa would, you know, had some return on the 25th, right? There was gifts. In my self-centered bondage of self-mind, I was not seeing the gifts from God. And so, of course, I put him on the back burner, and he, on the back burner, he went for a long time. But over time, I've realized, you know, these are the small things that start to build that relationship. These are the small things that start to build that relationship with the, with paddling, right? It's, you know, showing up short distances, just showing up, right? Help move the boats. It's the same thing with this relationship with God. To admit we are powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable is that first step in building that relationship, right? It's a choice. You know, our lives are filled. My life has been filled with choices. I have chosen to make the bad choices. And when I say bad, because it just doesn't fit with my family and growing up as a kid in high school. You know, all the choices that I made back in those days didn't work out well for all those things. They were great choices if I wanted to be isolated and party and, you know, lose relationships and stress out my parents. It was all good. But the reality is, for the most part, they're all bad choices. You know, with bad outcomes, and then living in that mess and becoming used to that pain and you know, the anxiety of my decisions. And, you know, when I finally came into the program, the decision to just admit, just to say yes, right? Just, do you think you have a problem? Yes, I do. I really do. I've been fighting it, but I really believe I have a problem. First, you know, that's that handshake. Hey, how you doing? I'm God, right? But it takes time, and it's, you know, one positive decision after another. And I think that's one of the, you know, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, this insanity is the life I lived prior to this program, which was doing dumb shit and expecting not to get caught or upset people. I always got caught, and I always upset people. And then I always had this shame and guilt and this sadness of being a disappointment to so many people around me. And then I would do it again, right? The insanity of it. And so when I started making these better choices to not participate and do this kind of shit, my life started to get a little bit better. That's, you know, that's why the steps 2 and 3 are so important. You know, came to believe and then made a decision to turn our will, our thinking and our actions over to the care of a God of our understanding, right? But up until that point, I had no God. So when I make a better choice and I start to live in the light, you know, I start to get used to this, right? And it starts to feel decent, right? It's nice when we're not disappointing everybody. It's nice when we're not getting caught at everything. And it's nice when we're not, you know, getting arrested and all this shit. And we start making these choices and we start to live this better life and we start to live in it, in the sunshine for a bit, right? I've been living in the darkness for so long and get glimpses of the light. But now I'm starting to live in the light. I'm making the right choices and I'm avoiding trouble. And then one day something stupid happens and you're just devastated, right? That to me is the relationship with God. That is God. You know, I did something a month ago, and God was like, you know, bro, fix this. What have you done? You're an idiot. And I was like, yeah. Bro, fix this. You're an idiot. Yeah, bro, okay. I'm fixing it. I can't live with that. You know, I compare it to my, you know, I compare it to like a parent, or, you know, I also compare it to like my buddy Matt. You know, early relationship with the higher power, you know, my buddy Matt was my higher power. You know, I'd go over to his house, all slouched down in the seat of the car, music up, one hand on the wheel, no seatbelt. I'd pull up into his driveway, jump up, slide up in the seat, seatbelt on, music down, 10 and 2. He would get in the car because I wanted Matt to think that I was a better person. I was living a better life. We'd go to a meeting, and then I would drop him off, and I'd revert back to my old ways, slouch down in the seat, music back up. You know, because Matt only saw me for a couple hours, you know, maybe a day or a few hours, even a week. But I wanted to look like, in his eyes, I was doing good stuff. And that was the beginning of it, right? And then, you know, we start to, but it just takes time. Time. And today, you know, I try to live my life like Matt is always watching me, or God is always watching me. And, you know, it's a lot like having the relationship with our parents. I was the kid that just always had a relationship with my parents because I just always was fucking up. And they were always willing to help. You know, I don't know. It's hard, you know, I don't want to blame them, but they were definitely pretty lenient in allowing us to continue our behavior. Where I'm sure somebody might have even thrown us out, or I don't know. It's tough as a parent to say that. But, you know, my parents stuck by us. We always needed my parents, you know. And it's sort of like a relationship with God. You know, the worse I act, it seems like the more I need God. But the better I act, you know, the less I'm, you know, having to rely on God. I remember early on someone said, listen, if you have a problem with God, then just add an O. And live a life of good. If you don't want to live a life of God, live a life of good. It's the same thing, right? It's the exact same thing. Because it turns out, whether it's a relationship with God, church, this program, you know, it just really wants us to be good people. And we can be, you know, despite what we've done in the past, despite what we think of ourselves, we can absolutely be good people. And when we're not, right, we know it. God shows up, right? Just like, you know, it's just like the relationship with our parents. Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, my mom used to say, oh, September's always been a bad month. You know, you're living good. Not calling your parents, you know, not reaching out. All of a sudden, shit hits the fan. Mom, Dad, God. You know, but the better I live my life, the less I need my parents. I remember at one point I was living a really good life, and I would have to force myself to call my mom, check in with her. But that was habit too. You know, that habit, my parents. So it's a, you know, it's a real, I think it's a nice, you know, I think it's important that we understand that this is the beginning of a relationship with God. For a person who only looked for God for things, I couldn't see the relationship. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. But today I understand, you know, a life of good. You know, do good, the next right thing. Be a good person. Be of service to someone. Help others, you know, help others out. That's a life of good. You know, today I'm working. Today will be a good day. I was off yesterday. Yesterday was not a good day. I mean, we had fun. I mean, we went to the outlets, and I bought my kids some shoes and stuff. But laid around, didn't have a lot to do, didn't have a purpose, wasn't able to help others. I did go to the meeting. The meeting was great. I do think I'm going to take on another kid as a sponsor, another kid, but... And I say, young, he's a young adult. He's not a kid. But yeah, today will be a good day because I'm working, right? I'm of service. I'm helping others. It's just, you know, I've shared before, you know, I grew up thinking that everything that was easy, everything that was free, everything that was given to me was good. and everything that I had to work for, days of that I had to work, you know, tough times, these things were bad. And it's sort of what our, it seems kind of like what our, I won't say the whole country, but it seems the vibe right now is, you know, if people are getting things from people and it gets taken away, it's very bad. And if people, you know, the people that have to work and don't get things handed out to them, they're, you know, I don't know. It's weird. It's exactly, I get it, because it's how I felt. If somebody was giving me things and all of a sudden that was taken away, I'd be very upset. I'd become reliant on stuff. And, but that's how I felt. I wasn't raised that way, but that's how my mentality has always been. The easier things are, the more I get stuff for free, the things that are given to me, the better. And today that is the opposite, right? I've said it, man. If I'm not suffering, I'm not living. And, you know, a good hard day's worth of work, you know, doing the right thing, being there for others, all those stuff, you know, those are the things that turn out to be a good day. And, you know, free stuff and an easy way of life is, you know, is not the answer. Even though it's still, you know, even I just saying that, I'm like, God, it would be nice to have, you know, a free house, something, free insurance, free healthcare. I don't know, but it was good. You know, it was great to meet some new people. You know, the one guy, you know, like you said, he broke down, and I get it. I understand it, man. It's painful. It's painful to keep trying. You know, there's a, you know, I shared about the wolves and the buffalo and the, you know, the herd. And one of the things when I meet new people, I try to bring them into the herd, into the middle, right? I remember coming into this program early on. I shared about the guy that was kind of, I don't know, he had been friends with my brother, and my dad got his name, and he said, go to the meeting and find this guy. And I really didn't want to get sober. I really wanted the pain to stop, but I didn't want to give up the drinking. And I remember going to the meeting and looking and asking, is so-and-so here? You know, like, this is the key holder to get into the club. And, of course, he wasn't there that night. And, of course, I went home and drank that night. But, you know, I see it all the time. I see people coming into the program that are new that sort of come in, sit in the back, you know, last one there, first one gone. And they don't get into the center of the herd, and they just sort of bounce in and out of the program because they just, you know, they don't really want to be there. They're there enough to, you know, to say they were probably there, but they're not enough. They're not there enough to get involved and, you know, get swooped up by some guys or women, you know, to help bring you into the middle of the herd. And last night, like I said, there was two guys. One guy, you know, almost broke down. There's another guy that, you know, was like, man, I just fucking struggle. And me and my buddy that I sponsor, we talked to him afterwards, and, you know, we got a small group of guys, and I'm like, you know, call us every day. And I told my buddy Matt, I said, call him, get that guy's number, reach out to him, you know, be part, because this is what we do, right? We get sober, and then we're here for the next alcoholic. And it takes a team. And I remember when I first came into the program, you know, I was doing that outpatient program, but I hooked up with a group of guys, and we all sort of held each other accountable and went to meetings. And so I'm trying to kind of do that again with these new guys. But, you know, it doesn't have to be difficult. If you're trying to get sober and you're struggling, you know, are you in the middle of the herd? Are you shaking hands? Are you asking for help? Because I tell you, there's a million voices in our head, and most of them are saying, don't call this person, don't go to the meeting, don't shake their hand, you know, don't introduce yourself. This disease, this spiritual imbalance, does not want us to be sober. It wants us sick. And, you know, it's up to us. We have to fight through those battles, those voices, and really try to get to the end. And so, it was cool last night because we met a couple guys, and they're, you know, if they call, they call. You know, we'll start, you know, as a group trying to get through this. But it was a good night. Grateful for that meeting, and I'm grateful to be sober today. And all right, let me see. Let me read Daily Reflections, and then I'm going to go. I got to go work. I get to go work. whatever we want to call it. I'm grateful. I love it. Oh, you know what else I did? We bought, every summer, man, I'm like, let's do something. Let's do something. And we never do anything. I feel like we're stuck in our house and in our neighborhood. And so I bought tickets to go see the Phillies baseball team. And we're going to go in July. And so I'm excited. You know, already people are like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go. It's a long drive. The demons are already showing up. And I'm like, we're going. And my kids are excited. And that's really what I'm most excited about, is taking them to the baseball game. So looking forward to it. I'll keep you posted. All right. Daily Reflections. Deep down within us, June 17th, we found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. Search diligently within yourself with this attitude. You cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. All right, let me read that again, because I don't know, that was vague for me. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. Search diligently within yourself with this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 55. It was out of the depths of loneliness, depression, and despair that I sought the help of AA. As I recovered and began to face the emptiness and ruin of my life, I began to open myself to the possibility of the healing that recovery offers through the AA program. By coming to meetings, staying sober, and taking the steps, I had the opportunity to listen and to listen with increasing attentiveness into the depths of my soul. Daily, I waited in hope and gratitude for that sure belief and steadfast love I had longed for in my life. In this process, I met my God as I understand him. Wow, right? Wow. This is all second step. And that is, you know, and that's how I started my share off last night. That's sort of how I started this podcast off. You know, the reality is came to believe, which means, you know, over time, we get to one day at a time, you know, like I said, we start making better choices in our life. We start seeing the results. And then when we do make bad choices or things that, you know, aren't in the great vein of yes and good, you know, we feel it. You know, and that's when God sort of speaks to me. Hopefully that we can minimize that by just, you know, making better choices. And we start learning about that in the third step. But yeah, what a great reading. All right, listen, I hope everyone has a great day. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.